and Board Vice President Carla Hagemeister.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys both in here this morning. Let's just get right into it here. You have your next meeting here coming up this evening. A lot of stuff to get to here, and it's always kind of fun, I think, first to highlight the good news, Marvin.
Yes, a couple things I wanted before getting to the good news. Just want to let people know that the board meeting starts at 6:30 like it normally does, but we do have a 6 o'clock executive session. So people are coming in to 2031 Points Avenue where our board meetings are held. We might not be in there right at the moment, but we will be having the meeting because we've got the executive session at 6, and then the meeting starts in the boardroom at 6:30. So wanted to let people know about that. Also, as you said, it's always nice to start with the special recognitions, the good things going on. And one of the things on our agenda for this evening is a proclamation about International Women's Day that Board President Kurt Herman's going to read a proclamation declaring Friday, March 8th, is International Women's Day to think, act, and accelerate gender parity. So that's a big topic. It has been a big topic for a long time, and want to continue as we promote diversity and equity and fair and responsible and respectful treatment of everyone for us to recognize this with a proclamation.
I know the American University of Women are doing a thing here tomorrow in Manhattan for International Women's Day. Are you guys involved in that at all?
Indirectly, we've got people involved with it, but we don't have any part in organizing it or bringing in speakers or anything like that. But we sure support it, and you can tell by this recognition. So I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, so that's coming up. And
another thing we've got, too, would be that Kelly Brimmett is an infant and toddler service provider for our school district. And at the board meeting tonight, we're going to recognize her because she was selected as a distinguished service provider for early childhood education. It's because of her exemplary performance for giving direct services to students and families that she has the qualities that they were looking for in candidates, that innovativeness, imagination, creativity, the ability to inspire, that she makes a difference with our youngest children and their families. So it's great for us to be able to recognize her. She got recognized at the state level, I believe it was last week, in Wichita. So we want to be able to do it locally.
That's great. You know, and I don't see it here. Maybe this will be on next month here, but Deidre Braxmeyer, I know, was named a master teacher. You guys will be pretty proud about that.
Yes.
Very much so. It was pretty fun for me to come home one night and say, hey, Jacob, to my teenager, Mrs. Brax, she's teacher of the year or whatever. And he's like pretty surprised and pretty excited for her. So it's fun to see your kids' teachers be recognized in a bigger way than that, than just the everyday, I think she's a cool teacher. So.
Yeah.
That's a big state level recognition, and they've got a banquet in Emporia for that. So it really is a big deal, and we're very proud of her.
Well, you know, teachers are thought of very highly in Emporia, as they are everywhere. But of course, the Teachers Hall of Fame down there as well. What about some other donations and grants maybe that you have coming in tonight?
Would you like me to go through those?
I'd be happy to read
it. Okay, yes.
Sure. I'll pull them from yours, though.
Okay.
Thanks. So tonight we will recognize a nice chunk of donations and grants, as we do at every board meeting, starting with a $12,000 cash grant from Riley County Raising Riley to College Hill Preschool for reduced fees for families, a $561 cash donation from Frank Bergman Elementary PTO to Frank Bergman Elementary, a $4,200 cash donation from Riley County Raising Riley to Eugene Field Early Learning Center for behavioral and mental health support, personnel, and costs associated with extended child care services, a $1,000 cash donation from the Sunflower Pilot Club to Manhattan USD 383 to purchase supplies to be used by students in the physical therapy program, a $750 cash donation from Hy-Vee to USD 383 for art supplies and projects, a $4,000 cash donation from Pepsi-Cola of Manhattan to Manhattan High School for building and departmental use to support student and staff activities, a $565 sewing machine and accessories from Diane Shankovitz to EMS, Eisenhower Middle School, for the Family and Consumer Science Room, and a $1,000 cash donation from the Manhattan Ogden Public School Foundation to Eisenhower Middle School for EMS Reads, for a total value, this just this session alone, for $24,076. And we very much appreciate the community's support. It's great that almost every board meeting we have a list comparable in size to this of that reaches all aspects of our learners from early learning all the way up through high school, of cash donations and in-kind donations just from people in our community to show how much they support our students, teachers, and education in the community. And we thank them.
Absolutely. Obviously, the foundation's a big part of that here. And people can give to that year-round, correct?
Yes, they can.
All right. Well, let's continue on here. What other items here would you maybe like to highlight before we get on to the bigger business here, Dr. Wade?
Well, we've always got the announcements from Michelle Jones, so let's get those in here. And this is one students won't need me to remind them of, but there's no school this Friday.
Or at all next week.
Or all next week. Next week will be spring break, so no school Friday, no school all next week, and then our district office will be closed next Friday, March 15th. So those are our announcements for today.
All right. And, of course, with spring break here, just because students aren't in school, there will be work continuing here. As I understand, the work on the new elementary school, that's still going to be continuing on here. Is that right?
Absolutely. As we move forward with the plans and working on just one step at a time, for all of our new projects that were approved through that bond. One of the biggest and earliest projects that we're moving on is the new elementary school to be built out in Blue Township. And part of that process is to bring together different groups of people, starting with our facilities and growth committee, the architectural team and the CMAR team, as well as different maybe department heads or different individuals from across the district that have specialized information or specialized knowledge about what needs to be contained within that school and what things do we want to make sure are discussed and thoroughly vetted in visioning what a successful school in Blue Township will look like and what we want to make sure that the school has, what things have we learned from past building projects and current configurations in our different schools, and hear all those different voices. So it's an ongoing process. It's something that will be continued, and there will be a smaller group of us, meeting next week to continue that, and then the larger group will reconvene again on the 20th.
And as you know, Brandon, we've got multiple projects with this bond construction, and the two that are going right now would be the one that Carla was just talking about, now the new elementary, but also we've been meeting with our early learning community, talking about how are we going to go about just the timeline, the sequence, the scope of work that's going to be done to prepare the two early learning community sites.
All right. Now, obviously, this is important work here, so you can get started as soon as you possibly can, right?
Yes, and communications something too. I'm looking at Carla now because I know she's brought this up at the board table before about how important it is for us to keep the community informed, that we had lots of information we put out as we were trying to get the bond passed. We owe it to the community to continue to get information out along the way as decisions are made, as progress is made on these projects, to let people know where we are and what we're doing with spending the money and the plans for spending the money that they were so gracious to provide.
Absolutely. Just making sure that we continue with that communication and, just talking about that new elementary school, the fact that it's not on anybody's beaten path. It's not someplace where people are going to drive by and say, oh, they broke ground, or look, there's footings or there's walls going up or anything. I live about a half a mile from that location, and it's not on my beaten path. It's not a place where I will regularly go past it unless I intentionally do so. And so really making sure that we're proactive with our community and making sure that they know the progress and that we're working and how we're going about the process all the way through, from planning stages all the way up through opening the doors and welcoming students on the first day of school in August of 2021. for that particular project.
That's good to hear.
All right. Yeah, it's nice to hear that. Yeah, for sure. Let's go back to the phone line here. We have a caller waiting patiently. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, good morning. It's a two-part question. I guess I'm going to build a new school out in out east in Good Township. Do those people, are they on the tax roll for that? And the second question is, how much is this last bond, and how much do we have left over from the other bond we did a few years ago? I've heard by the grapevine that we're still about $93 million on that, and I think there's better one somewhere close to $125. What's our limit on bonding that we can do, and when do we get in trouble?
Okay, let's see.
I'll take the first part of the question
and leave
the second part to Dr. Wade. That portion of Blue Township, so that area east of Manhattan that I call Blue Township, is contained within the school district boundaries. So our district boundaries go all the way out towards the Lake Elbow area. And if you live in the school district, then your property tax contributes to the school district bonding. So all of the homes that are contained and all of the students that would attend that fall into that attendance district for USD 383, their property taxes go towards this bond. So they are absolutely paying for their contribution towards that school, and they have been paying for all of our other buildings as well through this entire time that the district boundaries have been present, which is back in the 60s, I think, was when those boundaries were drawn. So all of that growth, all of those houses that have been built out there have been contributing to the property taxes within the USD 383 boundaries that help pay for our schools.
The second part of that, this will be kind of an abbreviated answer, but I believe your number's correct in terms of the debt we have from the previous bond. The 2008 bond still has significant debt that needs to be paid. We've paid off some of the debt, but we still have some there. So that continues to be on our responsibility to pay for. The mill levy for taxpayers here has gone up some to help with this new construction. After about 6 years, some of the debt's going to drop off that we owe, and we'll be able to continue to pay on this. I'm not doing a very good job with this without using specific numbers, but we will continue to pay on the debt that we had before, on the debt we have now. That as the debt falls off from 2008, that will allow us to pay more on the debt we're collecting now. And what the taxpayers should see is after about 6 years that the levy is going to drop as the old debt starts falling off, starts retiring from our obligations from before.
And I think one thing just to make sure that is clear to folks is that previous bond debt, those payments have been made. They've been made on time. They've been made in full. It's not a situation where we've fallen behind in any way on doing that. That is the timed, planned for that bond to carry. So there's not any situation where we're making up for lost taxes or anything like that. All of those payments have been made on time, and when that bond was approved in 2008, it was for this determined time period. So we are just moving forward as that schedule had already always been planned.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for saying that, Carla, because we do have good bond rating, and we're doing all of the things we're supposed to do. But I also, I want to acknowledge the part that we do have more debt than we did before this bond election, that we had debt before. We've got higher debt now because of the construction we're doing, but we do need to do these things. And that was a big part of the conversation between the board and administration and community about our needs, especially in the areas of safety and security, and address the growth, especially at the elementary level. So it is part of doing business, and the earlier conversation about sharing with the community on an ongoing basis what we're doing with those dollars and how we are going to make it meaningful for our students and our community. But we do watch that, and we are, you know, definitely safely within the limits that we have in terms of what we can borrow against and pay off in the future.
All right. Good questions there. Let's take a break. We'll come back here on In Focus after this. News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance.